We've been in a series, What Just Happened. God showed up. And I can certainly feel the power and the presence of God in this place tonight. I believe very strongly that every person has a purpose, a God-given purpose. When God breathed into us the breath of life and man became a living soul, we became a part of Him. For generations upon generations, centuries have passed, and humanity continues to want to do what we want to do. God says, I've got a greater purpose for your life. We're on a quest. We're on a journey. It's a faith journey because we have to have faith in God. We have to believe Him. We have to trust Him if He's going to lead us into our divine purpose. And because we're so different as personalities, we're so different as people, that all of our purposes are different. We don't all have the same purpose. We may be called toward the same thing, but we're not the same people. We're not the same. We're different. And God uses each and every one of us uniquely. When we're serving the devil, it's like we're just a bunch of drones. But when we're serving God, He gets down inside of us because He can. And He begins to work on us individually. And part of this is He gives us gifts. We call them spiritual gifts. And they're designed to operate within a church body. And that's what even makes us even more unique, but it makes us much more powerful when we all operate in our specific gift that God has given us. And we have our elder, Brother Caskey. He's going to come, and he's going to do a little bit more on a practical side of spiritual gifts tonight. God bless you, Brother Caskey.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, Pastor. It is my great privilege to be here. I can't say that enough, what it means to be at Calvary Gospel Church. As you may know, I went to the university here so long ago, I can't remember. It's to do with age. And it was in this congregation, different location, I was planning to be an engineer, and God called me to the ministry. It was a unique experience. And I can tell you it was God. It sure wasn't me. And wherever I'm going, and I have been privileged lately to travel to different churches within our state, outside of our state, minister, wherever I go, I brag about this church, your pastor. I'm telling you, you've got a unique pastor. And he's unique by the anointing of God, because he's willing to let people grow. That's not true everywhere. He wants to see expansion of the kingdom, not contraction of the kingdom. And I really appreciate your pastor. He is my pastor. And I tell him that. You are my pastor. He may be a little younger than I am, but I can submit to a man of God that is an anointed man of God. And this is my great privilege and honor to be with you. I was not here this morning. I had been asked prior to being knowing about the schedule here to minister in a small church in Belvedere, Illinois. And the young man that pastors it, I shouldn't call him young, he's younger than I am, therefore he's young, okay, was saved in the church I pastored. And his wife was saved. She was a little Sunday school girl that rode the bus and received the Holy Ghost. And when I went to her, the door, to inform her parents what had happened to her, they pulled her out of church. And we lost contact, but God didn't lose contact. And eventually she was back in the church, with her husband, and they were called of God, and they're now the pastor of the Mortal Life Ministries. We had a wonderful service today. We had 5 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, God did it. I didn't do it, but God did it. That's something to rejoice about, what God is doing. Amen. When I was asked to minister this for this evening service, the Lord laid a burden upon me. And it seemed a little strange to start with. And I didn't want to be out of submission to the pastor. And so I kept praying and asking God for direction. And so on Wednesday night, I told him, "Now, Pastor, this is going to be my text." And he said, "Well, that's what I'm preaching about tonight." And then Brother George, in his ministry during the prayer service, did some things that I'm going to institute tonight as well. And I feel this is of God, and it's going to happen here. And then, of course, Sister Brown's message about getting involved now. So my message tonight is now faith. How's that sound? Let's just go with some now faith. Hallelujah. And the reason we're doing that is I've been hearing what God is wanting to do in this church and the vision of your pastor. And then, of course, the preparation and, of course, the teaching by Brother Thompson and Sister Thompson. All of this that's preparing the church body for what God is about to do. But folks, I got to tell you something. You can't just plan future. You've got to have something happen now. And your future starts now. And what God is about to do tonight is to start now what he is already intending to do. But we've now just got to start on the journey of what God is about to do in this congregation. He has called, uniquely placed this congregation for this position and for this time. I'm taking you to the book of Hebrews 11. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Chapter 1. And I'm reading these verses. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." When we talk about faith, it is easy to see what faith has done in the past. We can look at the biblical examples of men who lived by faith. There was the David that took on a giant. By faith, he conquered the giant. There was a Daniel who claimed a dream that a king had forgotten. And from that dream, we have the revelation of future. Isaiah prophesied the defeat of an army while his nation or his city was surrounded by a great and powerful nation. But he sent a message to the king and said, "You see those guys out there? Tomorrow morning they won't be there." And as he said it, God did it. He had to make the statement of what God was about to do. We rejoice in that. And then we look at the we have no problem with difficult or future faith. Because every one of us believe the Lord is coming back for his church. Everybody here believes there's going to be a trumpet sound. Everybody here believes that God is coming at a moment, a twinkling of an eye. And may I tell you tonight, he will come. And one of the things that I feel strongly is if you're here tonight and you've never made your heart right with God, I'm here to tell you the Lord is coming back, and he's coming back for a church, for a people that have made themselves ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe in this. We have heard the proclamation of revival for this church and this city. But our problem is we struggle with the present. We have pain we feel now. Amen. We have things that are going on in our life that we are feeling real resistance. And we want an answer. And that's where the Bible says, now faith. There is a point in time when you don't listen to your feelings, you do not listen to what everybody around you is saying. You begin to grasp what God has promised you, and you say, now I am moving into a new dimension of what God wants to do. So what is faith? It's defined in the first verse of what I read. It's substance of what you hope for. How can you have substance but you don't see it? But every one of you have a hope. Every one of you that are here, you're sick tonight. You have a hope that you're going to recover. Now by the faith, hope, charity. These three, this is part of the Christian makeup. We have a hope, we have faith, and we have charity or love. This defines and distincts us from the rest of the world. We have hope. Do you know what kind of hope? You're living in hope. When you come to the house of God, you don't know if God's going to be here. You know he's going to be here. And your hope is that he's going to change your life, change circumstances, and bring things to pass that you never thought could take place. Faith grasps what is not there and begins to say, it is mine. And because we can't always feel it, and can't always touch it, we say, I don't know if it's going to happen. But faith says, I'm grasping what I'm hoping for, and faith makes it a reality. It is the evidence of things not seen. It is taking the promise of God and claiming it in the face of difficulty. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're not going to get faith from watching CNN, Fox News, or any other channel that's out there. Faith comes from the word of God. All the talking heads are telling you how bad the world is. But if you get a hold of this book, there's a promise. There's a hope. There's something you can't put your hands on anywhere else. So the Bible said the first thing is the elders. Those were people that held on to God. Elders are to be people that others can look at and say, they've walked with God. They're making it. Because the elder makes it, I can make it. Sometimes we look at the elder and we say, that old decrepit guy up there preaching, what is he telling me out? I'm here to tell you something. I may look decrepit, but I've got a hope. I can tell you God does not fail. I can tell you there's miracles. He's going to pour out his spirit tonight. I know it because he's done it and he will not fail. The men of Scripture are honored for their faith in God. They lived and they died in their faith. They chose to believe God when the rest of the world decided to walk away. They said there's still hope. And I have faith in that God. The next thing the Bible said, we understand by faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, that God said, let there be light, and there was light. Over in Zurn, Switzerland tonight, there is a huge, what they call an electron, where they begin to smash electrons. It used to be down in Illinois, but it was too small. So they built this huge, it's actually a big ring, and it's several kilometers in length. Thousands of volts of power are poured into this, and they send electrons through this particular acceleron machine, and they smash them. Now, we can't see that with our eyes. They can only get what's called spectrograph or pictures of this. The whole reason for that machine is they want to prove what is called the Big Bang. But the problem with the Big Bang is they can't find the particle that makes the bang the bang. So they're trying to come up, and it's called many things, but it's called the God particle. And they're looking for God particle. Well, let me tell you something. Everything that evolutionists and scientists are trying to declare, they have a faith in something. They have a faith in their theory. But we have faith in a God. A God that created this world. A God that set things in motion. A God that put everything in its harmony and everything moves. Years ago, I was in a class, and they were trying to tell us about the what they called astronomy, not astrology, thank God. That stuff won't get you anywhere but trouble. But astronomy is the study and motion of planets and stars. And they began to talk about how everything is in balance. The earth, the moon, the sun, everything is in a balance. And it's held in a balance by something called gravity. Nobody knows what gravity is. But if we didn't have it, I don't know where you'd be right now. Because gravity is what holds you to where you're at from a world that's spinning thousands of miles an hour through space. And here we are safe and sound because of gravity. And they said there's this relationship between them. And they called it a constant. Now there is something that, now tell me folks, if this is random, how is it that the whole universe has a constant that makes it operate? By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You came into this house tonight. I'm talking about a God who's not a little God, but a great God. I'm not talking about a God that's taking the back seat to science. He already created the science. Men are only discovering what God already did. And we think we're so brilliant that God just said, let there be, and there was. Some people try to explain the power of light. Einstein got lost doing that. We're still lost doing that. Because, well, God, you know, we know what it does. We know how we can get it, but we can't explain it. I said, oh, yeah, there's photons and da-da-da-da-da, and there's wave theory and all that. I can't remember what it all is, but all I will tell you this is all that theory is trying to explain what God simply said, let there be. And there was. God said, let the waters be divided. God said, let there be grass, let there be trees. God said, let there be a sun, a moon, and the stars. Now, this is, again, a very confusing thing to science. Because science says, you got to start this way and then this way. But God said, I'm going to start with light, and then I'm going to create the sun. How many days after, we don't know. We know that's the fourth day of creation. You see, we're all hung up. We got to have a star. We got to have this. We got to have that. God is a light. That's how big he is. Now, when you say all that, that sounds really far out. I want you to understand the God we serve is a great, mighty God. That's why they called him El Shaddai. He's the Almighty. That's why they called him Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah right now and give God some praise for the God you serve. Hallelujah. The Bible mentions another man. His name was Abel. Abel was the second born of what we know of Adam and Eve. And he had a brother. And his name was Cain. Cain and Abel decided to make a sacrifice unto God. Now Cain was a gardener. But Abel was the keeper of the sheep. And there came a time when both brothers decided, we're going to make a sacrifice. We're going to go and worship God. this God that our daddy and our mama talks about, we're going to find out about him. We're going to worship him. So Cain, the elder, the man that, according to those biblical times, would have been the ruler over his younger brother, went and he made an altar, but he brought the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the firstlings of the flock. And the Bible said God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's. Now the book of Hebrews says, by faith, Abel offered an offering. That means somebody was telling him, it was Cain, obviously, don't do it like that. Do it my way. Follow what I'm saying, and we'll do it alike. But Abel said, I have a faith that God wants this kind of an offering. See, there's times when you're going to have to obey God, and faith is obedience unto God. He didn't follow the lead of his older brother. He brought what God commanded, and God said, I accept that. What's God about to accept tonight? Some of your faith. He's about to loose it. The Bible then tells us Cain became angry. So angry that because he didn't get the blessing, he decided he would kill his brother. Instead of him going and following his younger brother's lead, he goes and decides, if my brother gets the blessing, I'll kill my brother and I'll get the blessing. Honey, if God is blessing your brother, don't destroy your brother. Don't talk him down. Don't make fun of him. If sister so-and-so doesn't dance the way you dance, forget it. You go and dance your way. You praise God your way. But don't make fun of the other brother or sister for their praise unto God. Hallelujah. And so it was that God had to get involved. Cain, if you don't change your attitude, sin is lying at the door. But instead, sin mastered him. And in his anger, he killed his brother. But he didn't get his brother's blessing. He got his brother's curse. Hallelujah. Another man was Enoch. Now Enoch, the Bible said, was the seventh generation after Adam. Men lived a long time in Enoch's day. The son that he would have born to him would live 969 years. But why is this man Enoch, of all the men that lived all that long time, mentioned as a man of faith? The Bible says he walked with God. That means there were some others that weren't walking with God. Others that were not obeying God. Others that were making fun. I don't want to get into it, but the antediluvian society was a society that was anti-God. They were turning against God. They felt they knew more than God. They thought they could come up with their own idea. The Bible said they were filled with violence. What you're reading into there. And the Bible says it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What it's saying was Enoch was living in days like we're living. But Enoch said, I don't care how they live. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what the radio broadcast. I don't care what the political society says. I don't care what it is. I'm walking with God. Hey, is anybody here still got some faith to walk with God? Is anybody here got some faith to keep walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Hallelujah. And Enoch prophesied that the Lord would come again, but all the world is becoming more corrupt. And the Bible says one day, Enoch just walked on home, and he was not, for God took him. There's going to be some shocked folks in this world, because there's some folks walking with God, and they will not be because God took him. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get to where I'm going here, so hang on. We're going to arrive yet. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, help him. He needs help. Thank you. Now, the Bible talks about faith and gives examples of faith. For instance, the book of Matthew 14:22, the Bible says that Jesus was teaching the multitudes. And as he taught the multitudes, this is listed in all four of the Gospels, by the way, this particular incident. And he was in an area that was, we think, was Bethsaida. This is hard to come about, but we, by way of able to read. And he was in this area. crowd is there. He's fed them 5,000 people. And now as the evening comes, one of the gospels says the sun was setting. Even had come. And he says to his disciples, I want you to head over to the city that's just a ways. It's 15 kilometers, roughly 9.3 miles over open water. It's dark. Now you got to remember, back then they didn't have radar. They didn't have lights. It was dark. I don't know if you recall, we live in urban areas, and we got what's called light pollution. I used to live out in the country, and we didn't have light pollution. We just had darkness. And especially when the cows got out, it always took place at the dark of the moon. And my father never had a flashlight that worked. So we were always stumbling through the dark trying to find the cows. That always got interesting, folks. And that, you know, they saw me, but I couldn't see them. In case you didn't know, they can see at night. A whole lot better than we can. So by the time you caught up with them, they were gone. So you're running after cows that they're just getting away. But darkness could be. Now it's dark. Not only was it dark, the Bible said a wind comes up that's contrary to them. Now here's these men that Jesus said, I want you to go to Capernaum. Go there. I'll meet you there. And the Bible says a great wind came up against them. And John tells us that they began to row because they didn't have, there was no diesel motor. There was no outboard motor. They just had muscle power. The wind is extremely blowing against them, blowing out of the north eastern area there, and they're fighting it. And they're rowing. Now, get this. They're starting about 6 o'clock in the evening, because that's about the time the sun would be setting in that part of the world. And they now are rowing till about 3 o'clock in the morning. That's a little ways to row. John says they got 25 to 30 furlongs. Now, a furlong is roughly 660 feet. That means in 9 hours of work, they had only come roughly about 3.6 miles, meaning they still had over almost 6 miles to go, and they're still rowing, frustrated. Now, this is where sometimes our faith gets, this is a study in faith, folks, because what you see here is what many times happens. God calls you to do something, and when you're called, you get resistance. And you feel the wind blowing against you. And it's not always the devil, by the way. It's human flesh. Our own doubts. Our own inferior feelings. And we're struggling with what God has told us to do. And we're expecting to happen right away. Nothing's happening. And instead of us getting to where we're going, we're fighting a storm. And we're rowing. And after 9 hours of intense work, they had only gone about a third of the way, struggling against the wind. In the fourth watch, that means after 3 a.m. in the morning. Now, the Bible is an interesting statement. Jesus saw them. He saw the whole struggle going on. He was well aware of what was taking place. And so he decides he's going to help them. And he just doesn't calm the wind. He goes to them. And the Bible said he comes to them walking on the water. Now remember, he didn't have a flashlight. He didn't have a lantern. He's just walking on the water toward them. It's dark. It's waves, wind, everything. And pardon me, I don't like boat rides, thank you. So the whole thing that I'm talking about is making me seasick standing here. And they're struggling with this wind. And he's walking toward them. The Bible says in the book of Mark 6 that he would have passed by them. So somewhere as they're rowing, somebody looks out and sees this figure that's almost walked by them. And the Bible said they cried out in fear. Well, what have you done? Dark night, you're in a boat, and somebody's walking beside you. Don't you tell me you're a big, brave guy. You'd be screaming. I know boys don't scream, but we do scream occasionally. We may have done some other things we won't talk about. And then Peter, Jesus says, be of good cheer, it is I. You know, many times we want God to do it our way. But sometimes God does it his way. In fact, he always does. And we always don't recognize when he's coming near our boat. And so when he said that, Peter decided, I will test this out. If that's you, bid me come. Now, a lot of things can be said about this man. But I'll tell you one thing, I wouldn't have been the guy trying out the water. Before you think you're so brave, help yourself. I don't know what he did, but I think he was trying it like this. But finally he decided he could go, and the Bible said he started walking toward Jesus. But as the wind began to push him around, he began to sink. And he cries out and says, Lord, save me. And in Matthew 14:31, the Bible says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And the next interesting part, when they stepped in the boat, Jesus and Peter stepped in the boat, they immediately were at Capernaum, just like that. They covered almost 6 miles in a matter of seconds. I wonder what those guys said. How did we get here? Hallelujah. Now this is a case study. I just want to look at this very quickly. We're given a command and a commission. If Jesus said it, we sing it, or used to sing it. If Jesus said it, it is so. Then expect adversity. And expect the wind to blow against you. Expect a struggle as you move toward your goal. Jesus will show up in his time at the right time, but not always in the manner that you expect. And the time you thought you lost in that struggle, he will make up to you in a moment of time. God is sovereign. God can do anything. The disciples experienced the storm on the sea just a little time before that. Only that time Jesus was asleep in the ship. And the scared disciple says, Master, don't you care if we perish? And Jesus simply got up and said, peace be still. And then turned to him and said, what's the matter with your faith? There's many times our storms are here to test out something that we claim we have. I don't like tests. I don't like things that nail me and make me struggle with myself and find out how human I am. I don't like that. I want to be the hero. Well, aren't you the hero of every dream you dream? And if you're not, you got a nightmare on your hands. Hallelujah. But I have a burden tonight that your faith will be released in the miraculous power of God in this service. You see, your pastor was so kind to allow me to teach on the gifts of the Spirit at the beginning of this year. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For by one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to other kinds of tongues, diverse tongues, of the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the self-same spirit, dividing to every man, several as he will. This evening, this altar call is going to be very different than what we normally do. Usually we come to the front and we want God to meet us here. But tonight, I feel the Holy Ghost wants to turn this whole auditorium into an altar call. Not limiting the gifts of the Spirit to one man or to the ministry. These signs shall follow them that believe. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you're empowered by the Spirit of God to move within certain things. Now, the first thing we struggle with is this. I don't have any gifts. You begin to limit God because obviously the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. And we begin to feel that we're not worthy. That is a lie from the devil. The devil's not worthy, but the church is worthy. You're born again. You have the Holy Ghost. And the gifts of the Spirit reside within the people of God. And God wants to release it. This is part of the now thing that God wants. He's going to try to take this church from a level where you're at to begin to see. And this demonstration tonight is to do this. Within the safety of this sanctuary, God is going to do miracles. David said, I long to see your glory as I've seen it in the sanctuary. See, in this controlled environment where the people of God are, two or three are gathered in his name, he's there with us. So we've got that promise of God in this house. That means you're in the sanctuary of God. When God begins to use you in here, you'll begin to know that he can use you out there. Because David said, that dry and thirsty land is where I want to see the glory that I saw in the sanctuary. You're living in a dry and thirsty land that needs a watering of the Holy Ghost, and you're the people God has chosen to do that. So, even if you don't believe, you've come into the church this evening, and you're going to experience the gifts operating in your life for the good of others. Remember, these gifts operate effectively by love. Now, I'm going to put some restrictions on. The Bible said the Spirit is subject to the prophets. So I'm going to take authority here. We're not going to use a tongue and interpretation tonight. We're not going to use prophecy. We're going to use these first five to operate within us. As I feel very strongly, those last three or four that are listed in the scripture are very much within the body that believes. But now these other gifts are to operate outside of just a control type where we're in worshiping God. But to get a feeling of this, you have to experience it for yourself. It's getting kind of quiet in here. Don't get scared. God has spoken. Hallelujah. He said, I'm in the house. Amen. He told me there'd be some fear we'd have to fight tonight. And we're going to move out of fear because we love the Lord. And the Lord's about to do something here. So this is what I'm encouraging. These particular gifts to operate in your life. Number one, the word of wisdom. We're going to divide into maybe three or four people. And we're going to pray one for another. When you begin to pray one for another, you don't understand. But when you pray for people, God begins to give you words that will help them. I never realized this until early in my ministry, because it's always a scary thing. But when I begin to lay hands on people, God began to say things through my mouth that I didn't know. But God knew. And the people would say, how did you know that? It's not because I'm super. It's because I was simply following what God wanted to do. When you make contact one with another, Holy Ghost filled people, and some of you here are needing some encouragement. You're struggling. The devil has lied to you, said you are not worthy. And I'm here to tell you something. You need to tell that liar to get lost. You're a child of God. You're anointed of God. You have the Holy Ghost. You're planning to go to heaven. Hallelujah. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. He's about to set captives free tonight. And it's not because I'm going to lay hands on you, or pastor's going to lay hands on you, or the ministry staff's going to lay hands on you, but you're going to pray one for another. And you begin to speak words of wisdom. He said, where did that come from? God. A word of knowledge. Not only that, you're going to begin to use a gift of faith. See, sometimes we limit those things right to the ministry. Let's get this right. These are to operate within the body of Christ. This gift of faith, you most likely standing beside somebody just praying, you're going to boost their faith. Understand, you don't always feel faith. Faith is not always a feeling. It's a promise. Feelings come and go, but promises of God never change. Hallelujah. Gifts of healing can take place many different ways, and miracles can happen. Hallelujah. So we're going to allow God to do this, and I appreciate your pastor entrusted me to do this. This is not everybody would like this. But I'm here to tell you, God is about to let this church is about to move into a new direction. And it starts now. Everybody say now. Now. Not yesterday. Not in the future. Now. Hallelujah. And God will do a miracle now. Now, faith. We're grasping onto something that God is. First of all, as a body, I'm going to go through and tell you what we're going to do. As a body, we're going to stand together when I ask you to, and we are going to repent. I'm not saying that you've done anything evil if you live for God, but we just need to once in a while say, God, cleanse me. Those thoughts, those feelings, forgive me. See, there's a lot of things we want to take care of for God. God said, that's my business, not yours. Leave it in God's hands. So we're going to repent. Yeah, we got ill against your brother, we're going to repent. Got ill against let's just say it, we're going to repent. And after we have repented, I want you to break up into groups of three or four. And I want you to begin to pray one for another. If you have a need, confess the need. And then begin to pray. What's going to happen? Not only will you begin to speak in tongues when you begin to pray one for another, but you will also say things in your mother tongue that will be one of the gifts of the Spirit in operation. You may even stop and wonder if that is the Holy Ghost. I want you to say, God is using you to declare a miracle, to give a word of wisdom, or to speak a word of knowledge to one another. You're in a safe environment. You're in the sanctuary of the church of the living God. Now, by the way, if you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, I've asked some of the altar workers, and we know where some of you are sitting, and we're not going to make a spectacle of you, but we're coming to you because we want you to experience the Holy Ghost tonight. You're on the edge of a life-changing experience. I said, you're on the edge. Your life's about to change. You're about to find joy you never found before. You said, I don't know if this is right or wrong. I'm here to tell you, God's about to change your life. You've been wandering in darkness too long. And you said, well, someday I'm going to change. Someday I'm going to get out of this problem. Tonight's your night. Now. Now's the start. Hallelujah. And we're going to help you pray. But for the rest of us, we're going to let God do a work in this congregation. And so we're not going to have music start right now. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to do some repenting. Are you ready? You ready to let God do something in your life? Hallelujah. Are we willing to be honest with God? By the way, when we repent, that's not when God finds out about our problem. That's when we become honest with God and tell him what he already knows. I want us to stand. Stand with me, please. I want you to lift your voice right now and before God. begin to confess. God, I need you. I'm asking you to forgive me. You know my heart. You know my desire. And I need you more than anything else in this world. I repent of my attitudes. I repent of my feelings toward my brother. God, cleanse my mind, my heart, so I'm ready to receive what you're about to do in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Do you believe God's heard you? Do you believe God's heard you? Just praise God right now. Just praise God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just wait. Just wait. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I know we're used to doing a lot of things with music, but for a few moments we're not going to use music. We're going to pray. I want you to get together in 3 or 4 or 5, 6 group of people. I want you to join arms, hands. I want you to begin to pray one for another right now. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray like you're desperate for a move of God. Come on, let's get together. Start this prayer meeting. We're going to have a miracle's going to happen tonight. Hallelujah. There's some healings going to take place. Amen. There's healings about to take place. Hallelujah. Amen. If you get by each other and lay hands on each other, that's good. Start praying now. Let the Holy Ghost start doing the work in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I release on this congregation an anointing by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm releasing an anointing that's going to set people free. Let the prophecy and the Spirit of God come upon them. Hallelujah. Loosing them and giving them power and anointing. Let them have the gifts of the Spirit operate right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim this. We release this power in this house. Hallelujah. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So by your Spirit, go ahead. Speak to those people next to you. Tell them what God is saying. Come on, bundle together. Hallelujah. Get out of the aisles. Hallelujah. Just get out there and begin to pray one for another. Come on, fellas. Let God do something there right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Claim a healing. Claim a miracle. Hallelujah. Don't let this moment pass by. That God is in the house. Hallelujah. I give you the praise, God. I give you the glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Set captives free tonight. The sick will be healed. The lame will walk. The blind will see. Hallelujah. Those that are discouraged will be encouraged. I claim it in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the joy of the Lord sweep through this house. Let them find some joy they never found before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That your name might be glorified from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I claim it in the name of Jesus. That's right. People are getting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. People are receiving the Spirit tonight. People are getting healed tonight. Not by my prayers, but by your prayers. By you claiming the power of God. Hallelujah. That's the way. Keep it going. God's in the house. God's doing it. It's His Spirit that's talking to us. Hallelujah. I glorify your name, Lord. I glorify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Loose these folks. Let them find the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. I give you the praise, God. I give you the praise. Hallelujah. Let joy be released. Let joy be released. Let anointing be released. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just keep the prayer meeting going. God's doing some miracles. Some of you know released, but you've never been released before. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. God's got it moving in your heart tonight. Hallelujah. I give you the praise, God. I give you the glory. Hallelujah. I bless your name in the congregation. I claim the healing in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I go, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're the miracle worker. You're the God that never fails. You're the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I honor your holy name tonight.
Seek your face.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Come and make your throne upon our praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The moment that we see.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Show us your glory.
Hallelujah.
Show us the glory
of God. Hallelujah.
Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground.
Hallelujah.
Come and make your throne upon our praise.
You're the Lord by the power of God. Hallelujah. And rejoicing take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The moment that we see.
Hallelujah.
We are changed.
Hallelujah.
Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory.
Yes, Lord.
Show us your glory.
Glory be seen tonight. Hallelujah.
Not by mine.
Oh God.
But only by
I give you the praise.
Come
I give you worship, God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Miracle.
By the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Show us your glory.
Let your glory be seen
tonight. In wonder and surrender we fall down.
Hallelujah.
Show us your glory. Show us your glory.
Hallelujah.
Let every burning heart be holy ground.
Hallelujah.
are healed. And hope is being found here, right now. Jesus, you change everything. And chains fall.
Jesus, you change everything. Lives are here.